Good morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Max City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start this episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, so the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How she caught me, loves. You're listening to the Max City Morning Show.
Okay, and we're back. All right, we have a very exciting guest here today, but as you guys know at home, I don't introduce my guests. I let them do that themselves. So on that note, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
Hello, Fort McMurray. My name is Nicole Burke Boucher. I am the CEO of Boucher, long-term resident of Fort McMurray. Been here for 40-something years. I have my family here, 5 children, member of the Mikisew Cree First Nation. My husband's a member of the Fort McKay First Nation. And we have made Fort McMurray our home and the place that we run a business.
Yeah, and a very successful business.
I think so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I see you guys' name out there, so I'm assuming you're doing pretty good. So the main reason you're here today, though, is that you are a sponsor of an event that's coming up this week. What event is that?
That is the November 4th Live to Lead event. So it is a leadership event. It's a John Maxwell series. He runs it annually. Mm-hmm. We've partnered with Up Close team. So that's right. Colette and John, who I think the world of.
Yes.
We've partnered with them for numerous years now. And it's always a really exciting event because it allows, this time I happen to be bringing my Boucher team in for the afternoon.
Oh, nice.
As the event is going virtual and live across Wood Buffalo, we'll be stationed at Mack Island. So I kind of have a dual purpose in that we're able to sponsor it, to bring the leadership event to Wood Buffalo, but I'm also able to bring the event direct in person to the folks that I get to work with each and every day.
Right.
Various guest speakers on the Live to Lead event. And it's all very like inspirational and motivational. And it's all under kind of the John Maxwell banner.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I've participated not last year, but the 2 years prior to just as a participant there.
Yeah.
And the speakers have been unbelievable, super motivational.
Yeah. And you kind of, at first, I really wasn't sure because it's virtual, so I wasn't sure how much you would get out of it.
That's right.
You know,
that's
with the big screen there. But leaving the first one, I was just so inspired. And I know that's the folks that I took with me equally were as inspired. So we just thought, you know, this is something we want to get behind each and every year.
Yeah. At first, the first year, I felt kind of duped, but I should have known better. Like, the lineup of speakers were just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I was like, these people are coming to Fort McMurray? Oh, my gosh. So I bought my ticket. I went down to Mack Island, and all the screens are up. I'm like, oh, you mean Tyler Perry isn't coming? And they're like, no. I'm like, oh, I should have known. Steve Harvey's not coming with him?
Right.
Like, no. Right. So I was duped. So but they've been doing this virtual before the pandemic, and they've been doing an excellent job at it.
And I don't know where they do it. I think they probably move around throughout the U.S.
Yeah.
But then they go and do these virtual stations all over the world, and they've been doing so well at it. And I felt the same way. I was
like,
what do you mean? We're sponsoring this, and nobody's here in person.
Yeah.
But I got so much out of it.
That's right.
And, you know, there are speakers even that resonate with me now, Tyler Perry being one of them.
Yeah.
And there's a way that even though they're not in the room with you, you still walk away feeling like they were in the room with you.
100%.
So, 100%. Yeah, I love it. I love it. And I love that we're able to bring it to Wood Buffalo because I think especially right now coming through the pandemic, now is the time to get behind events like this, right?
Yeah.
This is when people need that inspiration.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. No, it's a good one. And it's good for team building, I found, with organizations. I know a few of my staff will be joining this one because I do really feel from a structural standpoint it is important, and it's good for morale, especially because we don't always get to see each other nowadays, so having some kind of pick me up is a good thing.
No, I absolutely agree. I happen to be bringing, like, in the past I've brought leaders to the event. I'm bringing the entire team to the event, so
that's
my
awesome.
Kind of Boucher administration services and management team will all be coming. I think there's 40 of us that will be in attendance at Mack Island.
So the Boucher Group in itself, what is, for the people at home who don't know, like, what do you guys do? What are the services?
So we're an integrated site support services company. We have about 1,000 employees working for us. A lot of those are FIFO, fly in, fly out. Mm-hmm. We do have quite a contingent of local employees that we're building on, especially with one of our Suncor contracts.
Right.
Predominantly, we do project management. We do civil and road maintenance. Okay. And we also do facility maintenance. So those are kind of our three core streams of business.
Okay. And how did you find yourself in this world? Like, I have to assume you didn't come to Fort McMurray and start the organization. You probably were doing something before and saw an opportunity. Mm-hmm. What's that story like?
I moved here because my dad got a job at Syncrude.
Okay.
When I was in grade two.
Yeah.
With my three sisters. And we lived just up in Abasan.
Okay.
And been here ever since. And found my way through computer information systems over to Syncrude, like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And into stakeholder relations. So I kind of made a career for myself in stakeholder relations. I moved over to Koch Exploration that owns the Fort Hills asset now by Suncor. So originally I went through regulatory approvals with them as manager of Aboriginal Affairs at the time.
Yeah.
And then moved over to Shell Canada. And that's where I met my husband, David Boucher.
Okay.
And he had a company already going on the side. He also had a full-time job as a GM for Fort McKay.
Right.
And then Senior All started booming. And Horizon started. And he started getting more opportunities on the side. Mm-hmm. So we kind of had two full-time jobs. And
right.
I'd leave my Shell job. And I'd come home. And then I'd work the job for the contracting company. It became too much.
Yeah.
So we decided, you know, the worst that could happen is we're going to fail, and then we'd go and get jobs back again.
Right,
so we just quit our jobs and jumped in, and that was almost 20 years ago now.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. So you just saw, like, you had an opportunity, you went for it, and took a bit of a risk.
We had a couple of project contracts, so not long-term contracts, but it was enough to keep us busy full-time.
Mm-hmm.
We had about 15 people working for us, a lot of rental equipment.
Yeah.
And then, we just seen the need. So we thought, you know, let's just give this a try and see where it goes. And it's been, have never looked back for sure. I think, as I'm sure you would agree, working for yourself is so rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult, very, very difficult. Challenging. But what you put in, you get out.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I was on a dais a few years ago and we had the questions given to us before, like, everything started. And one of the questions was, like, if you could go back in time and tell yourself before you started your business, like, any advice, what would it be? And as a joke, and it was just a joke, I said, don't do it. And there was one lady on the dais who got very upset with me. I said, how could you tell that to young entrepreneurs? Like, they're here not to hear that, but to be pumped up. And I was like, hey, listen, for all of you out there, you're thinking as an entrepreneur, you got all the time in the world, you get to sleep in, you get to do all these other things. I'm like, it's the furthest thing from the truth. I'm like, you work harder than you've ever had to work before. There's no such thing as a 40-hour work week. And when you work with an organization as an employee, you're almost guaranteed a paycheck at the end of every day. When
you own and your 2 weeks own company, vacation.
That's right. When you own your own company, you're not guaranteed anything.
No.
And so, yeah, I could never go back. Never say never, but it's very unlikely that I could go back to working for somebody directly, because the reward is worth so much more than the downsides that come with it, for sure.
Absolutely. But I've had that thought too.
Yeah.
You know, where I sit on panels or I'm asked to sit on panels and I get asked the same question. And there is a little piece of you that says, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Because your time is gone.
That's right.
Your company becomes your life.
That's right.
And you become the company and vice versa. And it takes a while to work your way through that and out of that, especially to trust people to go and run it for you.
That's right.
Right? So it takes a long time. And most people never make it past that stage.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's one of those things from a family life too. I know my wife, when I first did it, like, she didn't like it because you have to carve out that time. But like, every hour that you're not working is an hour you're not making money. So when something comes up and it's Saturday and you're at a kid's birthday party, you're like, I got to go.
Yeah.
What do you mean you got to go? Like, how come you didn't plan for this? I'm like, I can't plan for these kind of things. I got to go. So it was, I was honest. I hope that the people who are in the crowd listen, but I know some people on the dais with me were not happy with my answer to that question.
Well, it's truthful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
So in town, the reason I see your name often isn't because I've ever utilized the services that you have, but it's because you actually give a lot of money out there for sponsorship, maybe through hockey or the Northern Lights Health Foundation. You guys did a phenomenal campaign that I watched the videos about, like, over the last, I think it was Christmas break.
Christmas, so 12 Days of Giving.
There we go. So why has that been such a big component of your organization?
I think as an Indigenous people living in this region, it's really, our culture just lends itself to giving. and it lends itself to taking care of families and taking care of communities and each other. So we've just taken that into, and it very much is our, I think, our traditional values as people anyways. So we've taken that into what we do within our business, first and foremost, and that's where it started. And we were very passionate about what we do with Boucher and where we give and making sure we hit certain pillars. And then more recently, as our children started to get older, we decided to create a family foundation. And we really wanted to ensure that the same values were imposed on our kids so that they understood the value of giving and working within your community and the responsibility of giving to your community. So we kind of do two streams of giving, and combined they usually mean at least $350,000 to $500,000 a year is what we aim for. Depending on what's going on.
Yeah, of course.
And one thing that I've learned through the pandemic is it wasn't the time to stop giving. And that was a stance we took quite early on, Dave and I, as owners, was now's the time to get behind the community more than ever. So we looked for great opportunities like the minor hockey, which is, I think, a $75,000 annual give to the minor hockey group in Fort McMurray, as one example. But we're always looking for different ways to work with our community, depending on what's going on. Yeah, very important to us.
So you mentioned, I didn't know this before you got here, you have a number of children.
Five.
Which is huge.
Keep you busy.
No doubt. So with your children, are any of them at the age that they could potentially be out there in the workforce? And have they decided to potentially work with the family organization?
Two of them have came into the business. One has since left. We have two granddaughters. She stays at home and is doing her esthetician at home. But our son Braden works with us in the business. He just joined a couple of months ago. And so he's finding his way through the business, and we're kind of pairing him with different people right now to decide what he wants to do.
I was
really, actually none of them worked within the business for a couple years, the last couple of years, and I was a little afraid that none of them would be interested. So I was quite excited when one of them showed some interest, because you know, you stay so busy and it's been so much a part of your life for the last 20 years that you really want to see one of your kids be interested and carry that on within within the region,
So I tell my kid all the time, like, hey, do you want to take over my business when I'm done? And he sees like TVs and green screens and YouTube. He's like, so, but then like,
I get there first.
But then he'll sit and listen to some of the meetings that I have to go through and like client stuff. And he's like, that doesn't seem fun. I'm like, oh, most of my job isn't fun, Keegan. But the cameras are. All right. We have a segment on the show called the Mac City Minute. It's a segment where Tanner's going to ask you some questions. I have no idea what he's going to ask you. So I wish you nothing but the best of luck. Tanner, hit her with the Mac City Minute.
All right. Question number one. What is your favorite part of having such a predominant business in Fort McMurray?
The people I get to work with each and every day.
Question number two, what is the most interesting story you have from your time running your business?
Oh, I have a lot of interesting stories, but really early on in the business, I decided I was going to be a safety officer. For the business, because we needed one. And so this was really early on, and we came across a fatality, and actually was walking beside the body thinking I was this safety officer doing my thing without even realizing there was a body beside me. So the long story behind it, but it is a story that happened within the first 3 years of our business, and it's a story I will never forget because it really, really puts everything into perspective when you're trying to run a business.
Question number three. What was your favorite place to grab a snack when you were in high school in Fort McMurray?
Dairy Queen.
Classic.
Nice.
Question number four. What is one thing your company does that might surprise people?
One thing that our company does that might... Okay, we run a female empowerment initiative internally. We've been running it for 2 years, and we bring all the females in the company together on a quarterly basis for inspiration. And we do something different each and every time. So I think that's something unique that not a lot of companies do.
And your final question, what is one business choice you've made that you're most proud of?
Oh, community. Absolutely. I think that's one of the things that proudly sets us apart is the emphasis we put on giving back.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
And those have been your five questions.
Awesome.
Tanner asked a question about his favorite place to go for a snack, and it got me thinking. You're from Fort McMurray for a while now.
Father Merck.
I was just going to ask, what high school did you go to?
Dairy Queen.
And when you said Dairy Queen, I was like, she's got to go to Father Merck. Me and Tanner have an ongoing rivalry. He went to Composite High School. So we asked people where they went.
With the education quality you got there, I can assume that's why you would make those gestures. You know? I get it. We didn't all get the top-notch school, so you're a little bit envious, a little jealous. It's fine.
So Father Merck, as soon as you said Dairy Queen, I was like, oh, she must have went to Father.
Did you go to Merck?
I did go to Merck, yeah.
That was back in the day when, you know, you'd go out and you knew everybody.
That's
it didn't
right.
matter what high school they went to, you knew everybody.
That's
right.
The community has changed dramatically, and some of it's been good, some of it's been bad.
Yep.
But it's still a great community to live in.
Oh, it's wonderful.
And you kind of touched on a topic, but prior to the marketing company, my background is human resources.
Oh.
Yeah. So I used to, recruit thousands of people to come to Fort McMurray. Mm-hmm. And so there was a component of fly in, fly out that was a part of that. Mm-hmm. And so you try your best. And when I hear the conversation about fly in, fly out, people are like, oh, it's ruined the community. I'm like, well, no, it really hasn't. And it came from a place of necessity back when it came in. And sometimes you have regular maintenance where you try your best to get full-time staff because it's regular work and it's coming. When it's turnaround or project work, like, it's very unlikely that anybody would say, like, oh, yeah, I'll move my family for 2 months worth of work or less. It's just not feasible, right? So, and that's a part of the community that's changed, and it's a divisive topic. But, yeah, I think most people don't recognize that you need a combination of both to run an organization in the oil and gas industry.
Right now you do, and I think back when... Remember when the bridge to nowhere really was nowhere?
That's right.
Right. That was okay then for people to be local. But now the bridge actually leads to a lot of different projects.
That's right.
And the feasibility of driving from this community way up north 2 hours one way each day in a winter snowstorm just isn't there.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Fly in, fly out does make sense. That's for some projects.
For some projects.
Right?
Yeah. And I remember I used to be the HR manager for Acuren and Tacton Remote Access. We'd have projects that guys would literally come in just for like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, well, listen, you're not going to move up for that. So, for maintenance and the cost, that's the one thing I keep telling people, the cost of camp. Like, as an employer, it's expensive to put somebody in camp. If you can avoid that cost, you're going to do it. But in certain circumstances.
No, you have to. We do a seasonal ramp up for the winter.
That's right.
Road maintenance.
That's right.
We have no choice.
That's
hire
right.
hire from the outside and bring in, for sure.
One of my first jobs in Fort McMurray was with a company called they're Clean Harbors now. They were Ever Ready back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And so, the rig camps that the guys would go out, and it's, like you said, it's completely seasonal.
And that was
seasonal.
In HR?
Yeah, that was in HR. I was a recruiter for them. It was fun. I loved that job. Oh,
what was
God.
Your first job in Fort McMurray, as growing up?
I got my first job in Fort McMurray, I got grounded. So when I was in high school, I dyed my hair and it was horrible. It didn't turn out how I wanted it. But my father was just very passionate about you don't, no piercings, no dyeing of hairs.
Right.
So I broke the rules and I got a job at a greenhouse. So they used to have those pop-up greenhouses that were at Safeway or
Zellers.
Yep. Yeah, Cochran's Greenhouse. Penny was my boss, and it was for the summer. I got grounded, and it was the best job I ever had. It was in the IGA. It's not called IGA anymore. I forget what it's called, but
Superstore.
In Thickwood.
Oh, up in Thickwood.
Up in Thickwood.
It's Sobeys now.
And so I'd have to go. I'd skateboard to work every day, and I worked from 8 till 11, but the guy who always worked after my shift would never show up. So every day Penny would ask, hey, do you want to work a few hours of overtime? I said, sure. And she would say, did you pack a lunch? I said, no. So she'd slip me a 20.
Aww.
And she would say, go to A&W and buy us 2 teen burgers and we'll have lunch. And old ladies would come to the greenhouse and tip me to lift their flowers to their car. It was the best punishment I ever had. So that was my first job in Fort McMurray.
Oh, that's great.
What was yours?
It was at the Fort Theater.
Really?
I
have a picture of the Ford Theater in my house.
It was great.
It's not here anymore.
Shot by Carrie Nash.
Yeah. What did you do there?
Oh, Carrie Nash actually was the photographer for our wedding.
Oh, wow.
It was one of his very first jobs.
Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah.
And he just shot my sister's wedding 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks
in
ago.
Banff? That one?
No, was it the one in L.A.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I know he loves traveling to do it, right?
Yes, that man has been to a crazy amount of
countries. He is so talented. It is unbelievable.
Yeah. So what did you do at the theater? What was your position?
Just at the front cashier. Sundays were the worst because the moms would come in with all of the kids, and we didn't have a cash register or a calculator.
Okay.
So everything was done in, you know, by 25 cents and had to be added in your head.
Yeah.
So you'd sit there and add up the popcorn and the drinks and everything. It was great. It was absolutely great. It was when there was a family here in town that ran it for years.
That's right.
So it was with them.
That's great.
I loved it. It's a fond memory of mine.
Good first job. Tanner, you used to work at a theater too.
I did, but not for theater. The theater couple blocks away from there.
McCinema 6,
yeah.
AKA the new theater,
but
which doesn't exist.
My mom had worked at the Fort City Theater as well.
Yeah.
Probably around the same time, because she tells me the same stories of, like, no calculators, no nothing. You had
right,
to count
yeah,
that stuff
that's
up.
That's right. You counted it all.
And you got in a lot of trouble if you didn't count properly.
Oh, yeah. You did. Yeah.
That's too
and
funny.
Then I worked at Canadian Tire, and I was a cashier there. That's when we had to wear the striped shirt and the red ribbon here. But I worked with a lady who could pick up the change at the end of the shift when we were counting out everything. And she would go like this, and she could tell you right to 10 cents how much was sitting in her hand.
Oh,
it was crazy.
Wow. Yeah, that's a skill set.
Yeah.
So we're at the end of the show.
Okay, already.
But
wow.
Before we cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout out or plug. So the cameras are on you, the lights are on you. Have fun.
Oh, well, I have to take the opportunity to talk a little bit about the recruitment efforts that we're doing as a company at Boucher right now. So we have a big branding campaign that we're running outside of the region throughout the provinces of BC, Alberta, and Saskatchewan. We have Dave and I on different radio programs throughout those three provinces right now, all in an effort to draw new employees into the business. But one thing we're doing right now that we've never done before is we're doing a really aggressive local recruitment campaign. We've never done it before, hence the reason why Dave and I were on the radio yesterday.
Okay.
We're on buses right now. Never thought I'd be on buses, but Boucher's on buses. We're in bus shelters. We're on some billboards. And it's all in an effort of being able to increase our local employee component. Really important for us to start growing our local employees in this region. I think it's what's going to make us better as a company. And so really encourage people to visit us at boucher.ca and see what we have to offer. We have 63 open positions right now.
There we go. Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime you want, you're welcome back.
Thank you.
Cool.
All right.
Well, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. It does mean the world to me. I hope you're having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.